the next area to share with you, to extend this conversation, is that as energetic beings, as manifestations of soul living in this dimension, you are essentially eruptions of soul into this dimension. You're living these physical lives. Soul exists outside time. You, the person that you are, this consciousness tied to this particular physical form, this particular genetic matrix, this physiological manifestation of energy, this version of you carries, in fact, all the emotions, memories, passions, and fears that your soul is experiencing in all the different human lives it is living along the Earth timeline. There is a teaching I have spoken through this channel called Past Lives, Present Lives, which is an exploration of how a past life, which I actually refer to as other lives, your soul's other human lives, how those influence this one, and how this one influences that one, and how soul collects data from all of these lives in order to learn what it needs to learn. So as you think about past lives, I wish to upgrade your awareness of this and have you think of them as your soul's other lives. And as you do this, you can see that what it is you are struggling with is actually a struggle in all of your soul's various lives along the Earth timeline. When you do things, when you seek services such as past life readings, or even the hypnosis where you can access these other parts, you find themes repeated that you are living in now. For example, you are terrified of water, being in it, being submerged, etc. You know, classic sort of regression story, Akashic record reading. Ah, well, yes, in 1320s Denmark, you drowned. Oh, it was traumatic, this kind of thing. And so it helps you understand more about this sense of woundedness now, this fear, this terror of water. Yet what I wish you to understand is that the past and the present are the same. And your present and your future are created because of what you feel the past meant. What all these versions of you across time have felt that it meant. Again, the meaning attached to an emotion which is a response to energy. The key to everything for you now in this evolutionary phase. The key to everything. So as you learn more about yourself as an energetic being now, you must understand that what you are experiencing is experienced by all of your lives across time. What you fear now is feared by all of these lives across time. And every single fear that you have can be traced to a single traumatic event in one of these other lives, every single one. It is a holographic situation. The soul is observing all of this and learning, ah, yes, that is what has happened. That is what it is like to drown. Yes, I understand that way of dying. Oh, yes, in this other life, because of that drowning, I understand now, because I'm observing this person in 2011 in this particular genetic matrix, I'm observing this person being terrified of water, and yes, I can see how dying this way carries over into these other lives. Yes, I understand. So the soul is learning from all these experiences. Just as it is learning from your joyous experiences. It is all the same to soul. So what is carried from life to life, what is in common, is, we could say, energetic bodies. And then the physical body cannot help but manifest what is going on in the energetic bodies. And this is where, for example, you have a birthmark that signifies a fatal wound in another life. This is very common. This is very common. This is very, very common. Or a deformity that mirrors how something has happened in another life. It is echoes it. And there has been research done, you can look this up electronically and whatnot, about children who, before they have been conditioned to ignore their intuition and their psychic memories from other lives, can tell you about how they died in other lives. And this is fascinating, and this is true. This is true. And you now, because of the way that this evolution of consciousness is unfolding, now have the opportunity to have access to all of these different lives. You have these feelings within you. You now have the opportunity to access the memories of what has happened. So, that takes us back to the very first thing I asked you to do tonight, before I even introduced myself, which is ground. Send cords into the earth, exchange energy with the earth, fill your body with the energy of the earth so that you can feel these things that are coming up in your body. Through your human eyes, your body starts speaking to you in the language of discomfort and illness, and you freak out. You rush to the doctor, who cuts you and fills you with chemicals and irradiates you like the chickens that you eat. And this terrifies you, and the thought of your body speaking to you is terrifying. Well, this is another avenue on the truth behind wounding and healing. Before a crisis manifests, your body will have spoken to you dozens and dozens and dozens of times. This is out of whack. This is not right. I am uncomfortable because there is energy here that is not working. There's an emotion stored in my body that is creating havoc. This is uncomfortable. Please look at this. That's how your body speaks. Your body says something's wrong. Something is not right. And you run to the doctor to get stuck with some chemical injection. You run to the doctor to get a pill that messes with your organs, that compromises your liver, that makes your colon work in a subpar fashion. So the other side of this wounding and healing discussion is to say, as you learn about the chakra system, you increase your intuitive abilities. You commit to that in one way or another. Every human is intuitive and can develop it. It just can be a matter of technology, willingness, and healing some emotion, some fear, releasing some fear. But every single human can do this and must become his or her own shaman, medicine woman, etc. Physician, masseuse, intuitive, medical intuitive, etc. And as this intuition increases, you will catch your body speaking to you before a crisis manifests. In this two-camp idea, this reality of the divergence of consciousness, where some people will say, gosh darn it, I'm going to be empowered from now on. And the other people say, I don't even know what that means, I'm still suffering. In that schema of how the consciousness on Earth is diverging, and there are now two camps that are clearly gathering to one side or the other of the ring, you are in a unique position to learn to hear more about your body. And those who do not will manifest their emotions as some sort of illness, even more quickly than before. I do not say this to make you uncomfortable, and I do not say this to generate fear, but the rate of manifestation of energy is increasing exponentially as we hurtle towards October 28, 2011. The rate of manifestation of energy is increasing exponentially now. This is why I'm coming through this channel so much, to teach you the truth about who you are, so that you can take more consciously aware responsibility of what you are creating. You do not need to create illness. You do not need to have the criticisms that your uncle gave you when you were four about how you used your knife and fork at table. You do not need to have that manifest now as arthritis in your hands. You do not need to have something terrible that you saw in 200 BCE Egypt manifest now as blindness. You do not need to manifest in that way. So I invite you to become fully conscious of all of these things, how your body speaks to you. It is as simple as you put something in your mouth and your body says, yes, yes, yes. And you could say, but I don't even like blueberries. But your body says, more blueberries. And it is simple as, I really think I love broccoli. And your body says, do not eat broccoli, eat cabbage. And you say, that is crazy talk, I love broccoli. and your body says, no broccoli, cabbage. So it is functioning on this level, as simple as this. But it is also in what you do for a living, where you live, how you travel, how you transport yourself around town, where your money goes, where your money goes as far as where your energy goes as well, what you spend energy on, what you invite into your consciousness. Do you watch the evening news, etc.? Do you touch newspapers and get their oily blackness, their fear-inducing grime on your body? Do you take that energy in, etc.? And it is in every arena of life for you to understand that your body is constantly telling you this works, that doesn't work. So as we speak more about the truth, about wounding and healing, I wish for you to consciously prevent wounding by understanding your true nature and this reality that your body is constantly giving you feedback about how your entire being is experiencing the choices and the lifestyle that you create. There is more that I wish to say, and yet at this time I would like to open it up to questions about the material I have presented thus far. If you do have a question, it is fine if you keep your eyes closed for the whole time. I wish for you to still experience this meeting together in the same way. But you are welcome to say, hi, this is Sally, I have a question. Yes, hi Marie.
I have a question.
Yes.
How does the Ho'oponopono work in self-healing?
It, across dimensions, across time, across subpersonalities, across identities, relieves a person of the identity of having wronged or been wronged. It is a conscious choice to release everybody of all identities. And so it is something that is generated within the field that then radiates out, and then others can actually opt to be affected by it. But it is, by the nature of its gentle intention, it erases histories, millennia of histories of identities of being wronged and having wronged. That is the basic answer.
So how often do you say it? I try to look in the mirror and say it as often as I can.
Wonderful.
Okay.
What is as often as I can?
Like when I think of it.
Would you say that is once a week?
Maybe, yeah.
Yes, okay. So it is one of these things that theoretically is exponentially increasingly valuable, and yet you are a human living your life. So I do not wish that you do it 8 hours a day in front of a mirror.
Okay.
But it is definitely, it will bring you back to a core truth that will calm you, and so it is important. And so yes, when you think of it, you might even benefit. How much time do you spend in this roughly once a week time?
I just say it once.
I would like to give you some homework.
Okay.
Yes. For the rest of you who do not know me, I enjoy giving homework. I sometimes call it home play.
It's better.
Yes, it's better. For how you have been raised in your schools, it is better. So home play, and it is not something that I will ever ask you about again, and there's no grade, but okay. Home play. I would like for you to do it once every morning.
Oh.
I would like for you have the intention that this creates the intention for your day. And I would like for you to do this for at least 3 weeks, once a day in the morning. And I would like for you to observe with detached, objective reality what is happening by the end of that third week, and then you evaluate whether or not you wish to continue. But I want you to experience that once a day. And actually, everybody else in this room should do it too. Would you please, would you please tell them what it is that you do, so that they may have the opportunity to go home and do this too?
I just say, I love you. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you.
See how simple this is. And so now the rest of these people who might not have understood or been exposed to it prior to Marie just asking this question, they have heard the explanation of how powerful it is, that it generates in your field, in the human field, something that ripples out. So perhaps I give that, yes, I choose to give that home play to each and every one of you. For 3 weeks every day, I want you to do that. Yes. And if you do not remember what it is, because I do not expect you to grab your notebook right now and write it down, though some of you might be inclined to do so. You should email the channel Seth and say, what was that thing that lady said? And he will pass it on to you, because as an individual chooses to inhabit that space, and in fact, if an individual creates a day beginning with that, those statements, those four simple statements, the day is different. The day is different when love, compassion, forgiveness, and acceptance are the foundation. And I will let you know that if you wish to change your life, this is an incredibly potent and simple tool to use to do it. If, for example, you are wondering why things happen to you, why people are always overpowering you, why nobody's listening to you, why people ignore you, why things never go your way, this sort of simple thing, these four statements, disarm over time the parts of you that identify as people overpowered, as ignored, etc. So this is a proactive thing, and that is wonderful for you to do. And so all 10 of you, including the channel Seth, have this homework. And actually, I hang out with him all the time, and I will hold him to this. He's thinking, I don't want to do this, but I will have him do it too. Okay. So Maria, do you feel complete with that question?
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And other questions about this this broad topic of wounding and healing, and any details that I have offered you tonight, any perspectives?
You were saying that we
Yes, yes, Oliver. Yes, thank you.
I'm not going to phrase it exactly how you put it, but...
Take your time, it's fine.
That I've been manifesting wounded... wounded women dynamics.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm kind of feeling like I've had enough of this.
Okay.
And for a while I was feeling like, oh, this is so great, I'm helping heal myself and other people. But now I'm just like, I want to be someone who's healthy and wants to.
Okay. So this is the perfect evening for you, is it not? This conversation about wounding and healing.
Yes.
Yes. So, returning to some of my the unfolded exploration in this conversation from earlier in the evening, you have the invitation, and I will walk you through it as an example for others to turn situations in their lives into more consciousness, you know, more conscious awareness, to turn it around. But you have this invitation to say, I am a drawing this. Why would I draw this? And as you have observed, that it is a wonderful thing to support others in their healing, and yet you hit the point where you just want to move on. So, why would it be that you would draw wounded women to you? Do you have a sense of that?
Because there's something I need to heal myself.
Yes. There are two directions to go, and that is one of
them.
There's
that.
Yes.
And there's past life stuff that I'm very conscious of that needs to be healed.
Yeah. You are holding yourself responsible for how you have treated women in past lives. And you are holding yourself responsible for that, and so they show up now as you are frankly embodying a more gentle nature. You know, I do not say this to be critical of past lives of you, but as a human who has manifested many times as a woman and many times as a man, as each of you in this room has over time, you have been learning about the right ways to be a woman and to be a man interacting with women. And in some ways you have behaved in good faith but have ended up hurting others, and in some ways you have behaved in certain ways that might not be based in good faith, and so you are holding yourself responsible for this. These women show up. It is not that you know every single one from other lives, but you certainly do know a number of them, as you are aware. And it is also having to do with the cultural dynamics that have led to their woundedness that you are aware of in each of these different stories. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. As this channel, Seth knows you, I have access to his understanding of your understanding. Just for the reference for everybody else, I'm not reading Oliver's mind, I'm reading Seth's mind. So you are holding yourself responsible for certain things, and for also for having created certain cultural dynamics that lead to the wounding of women. Participating in, creating, perpetuating, furthering through politics, through business, and through religion. So these women come to you on one level. It is an opportunity to support healing of women since you have this karmic history. And that is wonderful. But they will never stop if you do not release yourself of the guilt of what you have done. Meaning the stream of wounded women will not ever stop. And this is where this part of the conversation about how you can never actually get all that healing of others done comes in. Because it is being generated because of what is happening in your energy field. So I'm glad that you see this, that it is something you are carrying. So forgive yourself across time. Forgive all versions of your soul's manifested lives in this dimension, all of your soul's other lives as humans. Forgive yourself for all you have done and not done that has created pain in women, that has contributed to the suffering of women. And for you, there is also a second step. Actually, this is relevant for everybody, but it is definitely shining through right now. That as you have been a woman in various lives, you have received the same treatment and decided it means certain things about the men. So you must forgive yourself for everything you may have done, may not have done, or have not done, that prevented the suffering, or have done that contributed to the suffering. But you also need to forgive all men for what they have done to you. Understanding that all men have been trying to figure out how to honor the goddess within women even as they are taught not to. All men struggle with this in every generation. Every instance of women being hurt by men is an expression of the worldwide epidemic of incredibly deep suffering that has resulted from your disconnection from the goddess. All that represents the feminine is diminished, demonized, hurt, raped, herded into conformity, diminished. Seth mentioned at the beginning the third channeled volume from me through him, which is called Goddess Past, Present, and Future. This teaching in its entirety is contained within that volume. I encourage every human who can read English, because it is not yet translated, to read this book, to understand this. When you have been women, men have put energy into you that has been painful. And when you have been men, you have put energy into women that has pained them. And yet all of you are acting out the cultural sickness of this disconnect from the goddess. So, Oliver, dear Oliver, who is attempting to heal much patriarchal conditioning over many lives, take this opportunity to do it from both angles and to understand that as a woman, you have developed karmic beliefs about men, and then as men, you have embodied those beliefs because you are trying as a soul in earnest to figure out the right way to be and to treat others. So accepting this truth and forgiving yourself for all you have done and have not done, all that you have done that has created suffering, contributed to it, and all you have not done that has not prevented suffering. This will end this stream of wounded women coming to you. And what I also wish to tell you is that once this situation shifts, you will have the opportunity to help women in similar ways that you have been, and yet it will be an empowered way of doing it later when you have released yourself of the responsibility of all you have done and not done. Does that make sense to you, Oliver?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You are not here. Let us say this a different way. You have the opportunity. You are not obliged, but you have the opportunity to be of service in this way to women, as many, many men are finding out now they do. This collective imbalance that is unfolded, which as explored in the Goddess book, is not in fact about hurting women or the earth or nature. It is in fact about elevating the masculine perspective, because it is control-oriented, action-oriented, because you got tired of feeling at the mercy of the whims of Mother Nature. That is the secret to how the patriarchy was devised. Let's elevate the masculine perspective so we protect ourselves, so we do not have to be hurt any further from the whims of this goddess who is our mother, who should love us. And so whenever this delicate balance between masculine and feminine is upset, one is elevated and naturally the other is diminished. And so you are all struggling through processing, wounding, carried in your fields and therefore your bodies, about putting hatred of the goddess into women. And you have all done this from all sides. And this cannot be emphasized enough as a transformation of the relationship with wounding that you need right now. You as individuals, you as a collective. You are all reeling in pain from hatred, resentment, and fear of the goddess being put into women across time, being thrown at and put on and put into women across time. And as all of your bodies reflect the energy field that you carry from life to life, every single human right now has some form of issue in the second chakra that needs to be healed because of this collective history across time. Every single one of you needs to transform what is going on in your second chakra, and also the root chakra, because the second is where the So it is the, so to speak, the sexual center of the body, but this creative, procreative. But it is also the first step we take out of the root chakra, which is the root being the first, the sacral being the second. And the root chakra is where you store your learnings from your people, your clan, your culture, the collective, the human collective. And so as you're all trying to figure out the right way to honor yourselves as men and women, and you are all frankly craving to reconnect to the goddess within and within each other, as you are doing this, first and second issue, second chakra issues are incredibly important right now. We could sit here and talk about the second chakra healing opportunities for hours on some other occasion. It is that prevalent and important. And perhaps we will soon. Perhaps we will soon. As long as we are on this topic, this corner of the broader topic of wounding and healing, are there any comments or questions about this history of patriarchy, this diminishment of the feminine, this disconnect from the goddess? Are there any questions from any of you, dear souls, about this? Okay. This is a topic that is dear to the channel's heart. And it is dear, in fact, to many human hearts. Many of you grow up observing how men and women treat each other. And you, as children, hope it doesn't have to be that way when you grow up. And somehow, in some ways, it does turn out that way. And this has been very painful for you.
Seth, I have a comment on that.
Yes, please, Marie.
I was told that when mankind fell, whatever that means, when we turned away from our loving nature, the masculine ray of power was no longer balanced by the feminine ray of love.
Yes.
So now what our mission is in this, like, this time is to bring in the feminine love ray to balance the masculine.
Yes. It is that, yes, so please, there's a certain vocabulary I tend to center on, and yet I wish to tie it together with what you have just said, to make it very clear how what you have said is extremely important and relevant to this teaching. When this diminishment occurred, which is a way of saying when one ray was preferred over the other, the energy of action, power, control, is emphasized, where the energy of receptivity and love and softness is de-emphasized, is diminished in one way or another. And what has happened is that you have then become action-oriented and drunk with power, etc. And so yes, now bringing this other ray back in, balancing it out, is not to hope you can go back to matriarchy where everything must have been wonderful. It is to say, okay, great, we have determined our reality. We have masculined ourselves into this state. We have done. We have acted. We have created and fashioned and labored and, you know, all of these action-oriented male words. And we have done this, and now it is time to do all those things in the service of the other because of love. As you say, the ray of love, the feminine ray. And so you are to remain in action and yet re-envision why you wish to act. And so it is a matter of coming into balance. And it is not a matter of hating the patriarchy and wishing it were matriarchy. It's not like this. This is some of the anger that grows up from feminism over the 1970s that then has become entrenched within academia that is no longer seeming angry, though it is based in anger. So it is not trying to fight hatred with anger, but it is acknowledging the true nature of what is truly happening and thereby coming back into balance. So within each of you, and so how do we do this? Some humans are perplexed about this massive undertaking. How could this possibly happen? Look at these social structures, and look at these religious forces, look at these political machines, etc., that maintain patriarchy, that seem drunk on the power that patriarchy provides. And within each person, and this is the teaching in the Goddess book, this is the central teaching of the Goddess book, within each person, a balance can be achieved. So, you want to act, but you want to be passive, you want to be soft, and you want to love as well. So act in the service of love. And this will change the world and dismantle with loving kindness all patriarchal structures, including the mental constructs of your neighbors and parents and lovers and children and teachers and colleagues. All the constructs, including thought constructs. Acting in the service of love will undo the patriarchy step by step. And you can do this in your own world now. Your own personal day-to-day life now. Do you feel complete on this question, Marie?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. That is a wonderful question. It's a wonderful question. What I wish to do is to open it up to a different kind of question from one of you about, and this is related to how we explored Oliver's question, about the external manifestation coming to him with the opportunity to release something. But I wish to open it up to one of you to talk about some wound, and I would like to go into it with you for the benefit of you, but all of us, so everyone here and everybody hearing this recording can understand how to transform some kind of wounded manifestation into a lesson in releasing it. If there is anybody who is comfortable speaking about something personal such as this, some wound that you carry, perhaps from the past, I would like to open this up to one of you. If you are inspired, you may share, and if not, we will move on. Yes, Kathy.
I have a wound underneath my right arm that was described by a family as an accident. But intuitively and psychically, I know that it wasn't.
Uh-huh. How old were you when this occurred?
I don't know. I have no real memory of it, except I know it was prior to the age of 7. I've been told somewhere in the area about 5.
And what is the physical circumstance under which it happened? Did you fall?
As far as I know, it was on the swing set.
Yes.
And, well, the story that was told, although there was nobody around me at the time, so I don't even know if they know what happened.
It is okay, yes. I wish to understand how it's been communicated to you. Thank you for that explanation.
That the swing set broke and there was a cut underneath my arm, but in my early 40s I started processing that the cut doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Well, what I wish to do is to help you understand a certain perspective on this that may not explain all of the details in real-time logical world details. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay. This is a man, and you have a scar now that you see?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Under your right arm?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Now, is it, this might seem like a weird question, but is it in the armpit or is it below in this side of the rib cage?
Armpit.
Okay, thank you. This is all about a process of karmic learning within your family about trust and vulnerability. You cannot get the straight story and you are suspicious. And you feel certain that somebody knows something. You are that psychically open that you can already tell. So as you ask about this particular situation, I wish to show you the bird's eye view. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. Because as far as what exactly happened, it is in fact not as important as what has resulted from it happening, as far as your learning as a soul. So the wound is not the cut. The wound is that you are not being told the truth. Do you see this?
Yes.
Thank you. Because it is obvious to have that symbol be a stand-in for what the real issue is, but the real issue is this truth. Now, this is a place in the body that cannot be accessed without trust. Do you see this?
Yes.
When you are inspired as a human, when you are inspired to not trust, you constrict and you will bring your arms into your torso. And so this is a place in the body that symbolically represents vulnerability. This is also, as an animal, because each human is an animal, this is also a place where information about who you really are, chemically, is emitted. Do you see this too?
Yes.
So, the symbolism, we take this into this, we step into this more fully. There is a wound in your field. There is a knot, which is a block and a bruise. It is all together, tied up together, in your energy field that is about you revealing, that is about you being seen and essentially, in a chemical way, in a pheromone, you know, pre-human lower chakra way, being sniffed out by your people. Do you see this?
I'm trying to follow.
Yes, it is okay if you want me to explain it a different way. I will explain it in a different way, but it is okay. So you being revealed to be who you really are, not who you wish to be seen as. This is a wound from another life. That situation from prior to being 7 years old is a physical manifestation of the wound in your field about vulnerability. I am not sure I am safe to reveal to them who I really am. Do you see this?
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Do you see this? Think of all the things you are not comfortable telling them about who you are. The truths about you as a human. That's what we're speaking about. And as you were a child, before you even knew these things about yourself that you now know as an adult, before you even knew, because we're talking about a multidimensional situation across time, many lives, before you even knew, you manifested a wound in that part of your body that is about vulnerability. You do not trust them. Now, in your adulthood, do you feel that you trust them? Separate from do you want to trust them and do you perceive you need to trust them, the question is, do you trust them?
For the most part, yes.
Yes, there are these certain things that are special to you. These certain things that they perhaps are not able to honor.
Right.
Okay. Certain aspects of self that you cannot hide. That's what we're talking about. So across time, you have the opportunity to forgive them for not being able to see you, and when they do see you, not honor you.
Right.
Okay, they are teachers for you. They are teachers for you to teach you about what happens when you are vulnerable. The meaning that this you from another life, this other version of your soul, has created is that I can't show myself, or if I do show and you can be clear about which more resonates with you, but I want to give different possibilities for those of us who are listening. I can't reveal myself, or these certain things they cannot deal with, or these certain things about me are probably not acceptable, or I wish I were loved for being this me, but they do not, they cannot see it, they cannot respect it, they cannot honor it. Does that last part resonate with you?
Very much.
Yes, that is what I was sensing in your field as you were hearing. So that is the meaning attached Well, the truth of it is that they simply cannot see and honor and respect. It is not that you are not lovable. It is not that you are not worthy of being seen, honored, and respected. It is that you picked, as a soul, a family that cannot do it. Because you need to learn to do it yourself. Every human picks a family that cannot teach him or her what he or she needs to learn. And so if you can relieve them of the responsibility of seeing, respecting, and honoring you, and take it on for yourself, you will heal this child within you who carries this wound. And then you will have this scar as a reminder of a beautiful thing that comes from vulnerability, which is to accept in what ways other people trying to learn how to be human cannot honor everybody, cannot see, cannot open to all possibilities, because they are learning as a human just as you are. So if you can have compassion for them and not being able to see, and you can release them of the responsibility for still not being able to see, respect and honor, then you free yourself to live in the present moment. Does that all make sense to you, Kathy?
Yes.
Do you have one more comment or question? It is welcome if you do.
Did I die that day and come back as a different soul?
No. That day, a part of you returned to you, so it may seem that you are a different soul. Yes, a part of you returned, a part of you that needed to experience your family in this way. Meaning a part that was separated because of trauma in another life, was fractured, then returned so that you could experience yourself as deeply vulnerable.
Wonderful.
It is a beautiful human story, in fact. I can't tell if you're being facetious or not. Yeah. You are. It is actually a beautiful human story.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have one comment more for you about this to wrap this up. I do not feel complete until I say this. And it is that most times when people experience trauma, parts leave.
Yeah.
Yes, and in this case, somebody came back. While other parts may have left, a very important part came in to occupy you until now. And now you, because if you choose to make peace with this situation, this dynamic, then you are complete with this part from across time.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yes, you need that. You need to release this meaning attached to it. Yeah, you're ready. You're ready to do that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. You're welcome.
I'm Elaine.
Yes, Elaine, please.
I have a question about, are we needing to go past the male and female vibration in order to ascend?
Okay, thank you.
Is it going beyond, you know, like cleaning up loose ends here and then going like after October, vibrating to another realm, another dimension?
Yes, thank you. In a way, yes, 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 and this is a fantastic question. When you tie up your loose ends, as you have phrased this, when a human has tied up his or her loose ends about the history of male and female, you know, as referencing this conversation with Oliver, where as a man he has done this, as a woman he has experienced this, forgive everybody for everything, etc., release it all. These are loose ends. And so as you do release loose ends, and as you tie this up and you do all this, what you do is you make peace with history to the point that you are no longer the product of history as a man or a woman, that you are no longer the body you are in. When you tie up these loose ends, this is the point, the major point of this statement, you transcend the identification with your body as one gender or the other. You find within yourself that you are male and female complete. You simply have chosen one type of body. to live through duality, where there are two kinds of bodies. You have simply chosen one kind of body. It is not who you are. And you, as you tie up these loose ends, you are not, you realize, what others think you are because of the body you have chosen. For example, a man has feminine qualities. A woman has masculine qualities. And so in a sense, each of you is androgynous, except you have chosen one kind of body, because soul has no gender. And gender, as it has been politicized through culture and religion and history and art on your planet, has said you need to behave this way if you have that kind of body. So, as far as transcending into another dimension, in a way, most definitely, because you connect to soul, which exists outside the time-space dimension, by tying up all these loose ends and choosing to flow with the natural energies that exist within you. So yes, is the short answer, but I wanted to... Yes, is there anything else on that? I feel like there is one other detail or comment or question you may have that I may not have addressed. I think it is in what you said that I might not have addressed. If that makes sense to you, perhaps not, but...
I'm just becoming acutely aware of personally letting go of not being able to help others.
Mm.
Just understanding that accepting what is.
Yes. Yes. Yes, good. Good. Thank you for this question. So, this Elaine's question takes us to the end of our time together this evening. This has been a wonderful experience to share with you, to provide this teaching in its different forms, its different corners of this teaching, and to share with you the energetic statement I wish to make to humans about shifting perspective and raising consciousness. So this has been a wonderful evening, and I thank each of you for sharing this with me. I am going to recede in a moment, and the channel, Seth, will return to you. What I would like you to do is to keep your eyes closed for another couple of minutes, another 3 or 4 minutes in silence, being quiet, and setting an intention to return to your life with these perspectives in mind, with your home play ready to go, and with a willingness to accept your evolutionary opportunities that are always coming to you. So thank you again, and we shall meet again soon. There will be other opportunities in the future to sit with me in this way, to sit together in this way. So we will be quiet for a couple of minutes, and then Seth will speak to you to take us out of this space we have created together. Thank you. Okay, so before you open your eyes, please wiggle your toes and your shoes just a little. Move your feet against the carpet just enough to remember that you have feet. Because many of you went pretty deep with us tonight. in this dimly lit home that Marie has shared with us for the evening. So there are your feet and then your ankles. Just kind of get back into your body in a slow, gentle, conscious way. Because I'm not going to be sending you home in your cars before this happens. You can rotate your ankles, you can move your hands, stretch a little bit before we turn a little light on and come out of this. And then you can open your eyes now that you're kind of back in your body. And feel free to stretch, etc. Okay. So a couple of things, as you get comfortable being embodied again. I did bring copies of those two channeled books, so if you want to see those, I will have them, you know, I'll show them to you in a minute. And there are also a number of MP3s that I've recorded over the last few months of Jehudi of all these different topics, including some calls with him that I open up to people across the country, and people call in and have an hour with him, and also some other meetup events that I've done at my house. And so there's lots of opportunities to spend time with this vibration. Thank you for coming with this group, this 9, this 10 people. This is great. I loved this. Feeling all of you here together, this was great. So I really appreciate the opportunity to do this with you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.